Not even a little bit dramatic.
Oh my god, it's like raising a teenager. I can't, it's just... I don't, I'm not ready. I mean, she's seven.
Oh no, that's a strong-willed age.
She's been strong-willed since birth. Do you remember her?
This is true. Yes. I'm just saying, it gets better.
It gets better.
I remember when I was younger and sweeter, both of my charming parents saying, I hope you have a child just like you. And I remember saying, well, I hope I do too. And I did.
Here you are.
You fished your wish.
I did. I manifested that reality. Fiona, you can't hear this yet, but I hope you have a child just like you.
One day she's going to be listening to this later and be like, oh, remember that time when you and the cousins had a podcast and talked about me on it?
Do you think, like, when she's, like, 13, she'll discover this? Like, she knows about it, but she'll, like, it'll occur to her to listen. And she's going to come in and be like, you're so lame.
Probably.
And she's going to be listening to this episode and be like, yes, I already said that. Yeah. I said that on episode 32. Come on. So Tammy, what are we doing here?
So my mom printed these notes for me yesterday and told me that they were a little hard to read. And I was like, no, it's fine. I can read them. And now that I'm trying to read them, they are a little hard to read. So
thanks. You know what's good about this is I can't read them over your shoulder.
That's true. Yeah, that's why I really
Salt
had to use this
over
font.
Over your shoulder. Stop.
All right.
Stop.
So we're going to talk about Ohio today.
Have you been to Ohio? Have you ever been?
I know it's for lovers.
That's Virginia. Ohio Virginia is for lovers. Virginia.
It's a Hawthorne. You weren't an emo kid. It's a Hawthorne Heights song.
I was 100% not an emo kid.
Sorry.
Shout out to Chuck Diesel. Does she listen to this?
Maybe. I don't know.
Make sure she listens to this episode. Anyways, so very much like Indiana, and same part of the country, right? Really,
ish.
Really bad.
It's Midwest.
Really bad at geometry, like I said.
Geometry. Me too.
Geometry. I almost said vocabulary. Then okay, sorry. Try it again. I'm really bad at geography.
I'm also bad at geometry.
I'm really bad at geometry. I just took the GRE, I can tell you.
It's actually my worst math, too, but anyway. Ohio is full of urban legends. There's lots of them. It was one of those, like, really hard to tell which was the most popular because there were so many. Like, you search most popular and a bunch of different ones come up every time.
Love it.
So, we could probably do a whole season of Ohio legends. Mm. We're going to cover two of the most commonly listed legends today, because like I told you guys, I thought I was going to do four, and then one of them ended up being longer. So, not in the order that I researched them, but I'm going to start with the legend of Helltown.
Helltown.
Yeah, because the other one's a little bit more lighthearted than this one, so we'll start with the darker.
Oh, no.
That 100% sounds like, you know, there's like Scream's Halloween theme park?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like instead of Scream's, it should be called Helltown. And you go in, and it's like a Halloween-themed something with like 17 haunted houses.
It almost could be.
I'm living for that. Is it fall yet when this episode comes out?
I don't know.
It's got to be close.
Probably.
Let's go to a haunted house this year.
Who cares?
Sorry, Tammy. Would you like to do your episode?
In your life, it's always fall, so I'm not sure
why
it matters.
Can we actually go to a haunted house this year?
I will go with you. I will 100% go with you.
Maybe.
Amanda, you and I can go.
Okay.
And then we'll call Tammy Crowley.
Have you ever been to a haunted house with Amanda? Because I have.
No, oh, I thought you were going to say to a haunted house. Because, yeah, definitely. No, not with Amanda.
I haven't been in, like,
you have to sneak her
years.
Out the side door and let her go back to the car. She's not going to make it all the way through.
Y'all, this has nothing to do.
Seven.
This has nothing to
okay.
do with
Okay, how much
Ohio
have you changed?
That's true.
2 years ago, Megan, my best friend Megan.
You're talking about our current conversation. No.
Also nothing to do with Ohio.
Nothing to do with Ohio. My best friend Megan was 8 months pregnant with her first child. So already, let's examine the wisdom of anything scare tactic and a seriously pregnant woman. We found this place in Austin that was a vampire-themed bar in a haunted, like, a haunted town kind of thing. And I was like, we should go. And we're like, yeah, we'll go. And then, like, the week before, she was like, hey, I don't want you to think I'm bailing on you, but I'm starting to think this is a very bad idea for me to get scared. And I'm like, I kind of agree with you.
Right.
Also, it's not a lot of fun to go to a bar when you're pregnant,
oh, no.
I would
she
imagine.
Was okay with, she was going to be my DD, so she didn't mind the bar part, but, like, the whole, like, jump scare thing, she was like, I feel like that is a poor choice.
Yeah. I don't blame her
And
there.
Even me with my one-sided, like, one-track mind, I'm like, I feel as though you're correct.
You could be right. We'll do it another time.
We will go another year. And then Corona happened. We've still never gone.
Oh.
I'll come.
Yay. Let's do it.
All right.
Road trip.
So, Helltown. Originally, this area was Boston, Ohio. Also, Boston Mills. It's kind of like a mix of neighborhoods. But Boston Mills was an everyday small town suburb, just like any other suburb. It was founded in 1806, but in 1974, one day all of its residents disappeared, leaving behind a ghost town.
Oh, so when you say ghost town, you mean like abandoned town. Sometimes I get them mixed up.
I mean multiple things in this in this scenario.
So everybody like left overnight? Is that what you're saying?
Everyone moved out one day, yeah.
So weird.
So the official story is that there was a scheduled move-out date because the U.S. government bought the land to create space for Cuyahoga Valley National Park. And I did look up the pronunciation for that, so hopefully that's as good. That's as good as it gets, as I tried. I don't know for sure. Mm. It's actually spelled Cuyahoga, but I think the pronunciation is Cuyahoga Valley National Park.
Okay.
So residents reluctantly left their homes because... when the government decides it's going to seize property, you don't have a lot of choice.
Right.
And a lot of the houses were then boarded up and plastered with no trespassing signs by the U.S. government. Some houses were also used at this point as practice for the fire department and were intentionally burned down. So since it was already abandoned,
became a training tool.
Yeah, they used it as like a training ground in between times. So even though they all left their homes and the entire town had been abandoned, the government fell behind on its plan to create the national park, so the village that was once thriving just sat there neglected for a long time. Years later, in 1985, the National Park Service also acquired nearby Craichy Dump. Rangers who visited the site became ill and were covered in rashes, which led to the discovery that the dump was highly polluted with toxic chemicals that had not been properly disposed of. Apparently, as of 2015, the U.S. was wrapping up restoration of the area, so most of the abandoned houses were torn down by 2016. So this is the official story of what happened to Boston Mills.
Okay.
On the record.
Lovely. Love it.
Obviously, the area is creepy, especially after dark. Even without the legends that surround the area, we're talking about an abandoned town with some boarded up houses next to others that have been burned to the ground. So you walk up on this scene, it's gonna be creepy, no matter what you know about it. If that's the entirety of what happened in Boston Mills, it's sad enough. I mean, we're talking about people being displaced from their homes. But there are many stories that go beyond this that people say are the real truth of the area of what's known today as Helltown. So this is true urban legend. Like, who really knows the exact story?
This is what we're here for. Stop, this? Amanda. I saw that face. What? Tammy's trying to teach us.
What was the face about?
Because I have really weird socks on.
She has a hole in the top of her socks, like, intentionally.
They're athletic socks, and for whatever reason, there's no top. And I don't know why. It's just the way they're made.
I thought your face was a reaction to what I was saying.
No.
No, and you're telling a really good story. We were trying to stay on track.
Sorry to bore you, Amanda. No.
No, but I was very... she has very pale feet shining out of her.
Wow. It's called true. Out on air. Goodness.
I don't know if our listeners know this, but I'm very much a Caucasian. There's no doubting the shininess.
It's a little like Irish in your blood.
A little bit.
Okay. So anyway, could be that there's a different truth to Helltown.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so the first and probably biggest story to explain is that this was a government conspiracy.
I love a good conspiracy.
They're so fun. They're
Are we on the list for doing Aaron, this episode?
Yes. Just so you know, Aaron looks really excited. Amanda looks really terrified right now.
It's because I'm already on the list. I'm like, great.
Amanda's like, one more tally on my column.
So, many people believe that the whole national park story is a cover-up of what actually happened to Boston Mills. People say that the government actually closed the town and quarantined it after a chemical spill accident that caused its citizens to mutate.
Oh, no.
So remember there was the dump that did have the really
this
toxic...
This is like The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, it's...
I like that movie. Sorry.
So, like anything else, I mean, this obviously has some elements of truth in it. Is it the real story? Who knows? Was it just that the government made everybody evacuate the land and then they later found the toxic chemical spill?
Right.
Or did this happen in a different order and we had to cover it up? Who really knows?
Oh my goodness.
Who knows?
Good.
So the legend goes on. Many locals and visitors to the area, which is abandoned, and actually I think I've now it is actually part of the park, so they have, one way or the other, how the story started, it is part of the national park now, so it's easier to visit, but I don't know. It was very confusing. The timelines in this research were very confusing. But at least as recently as 2016, people were claiming to have to see, when they visit the area, strange, I'll say in quotes, mutant citizens lurking in the area. It is reported that if you go to Helltown, you will see people and animals living with various deformities caused by the chemical spill. Among the most popular and most dangerous is the Peninsula Python, which is a snake that grew to an enormous size and is said to still slither around the nearby town. Nearer the abandoned town.
But like y'all, that. Like, there's some truth there. Like, maybe not about Helltown, because I've never heard of this, but yeah. That's what happened in Chernobyl. Yeah, I mean, there was massive spill, and generations later, there are still people with some pretty horrid deformities.
Yeah.
So as much, it's really not funny, and it's more like a giggle to, like,
no, you, like, laugh, it's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, again, who knows... I don't want to be on the list.
I'm not seeing that python, though.
No, I don't want to be on a list, but who knows what actually happened in what order. Ooh. In this area.
Dun, dun, dun. You've doing all
right.
This all.
I'm changing my dissertation topic to, like, government conspiracy. No, I'm not. Ohio. Anyone listening, I'm not
now
doing that.
Now you're definitely on a list.
Just hold on while I take a sip real quick before I continue.
Human. Like, they would put me on a list and immediately strike me off the list because they're like, she's too boring to watch.
She's watching the British Bake Off
show
again.
Right. How many times do you care if Hollywood likes the freaking crumpet?
Chardonnay. She's not even switched up the wine this week.
God, it's the same thing, but there's a lot of bottles.
Chardonnay and popcorn for the 8th day in a row.
Chardonnay, popcorn, and my God, how many chickens are in that front yard?
Gumbo for breakfast.
Gumbo for breakfast. Salads for breakfast, gumbo for breakfast. Now all of you listeners know everything I've ever done. This is my home.
No need to research.
No, you don't have to seek me out. I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Oh, God. She's an open book.
I am, truly.
All right, so also there's a cemetery, the local cemetery for Boston Mills. It was called Boston Cemetery, and it has a few legends of its own, of course, as it's naturally a cemetery. It's believed to be haunted by an apparition that is often seen staring blankly into creation. That's how it was written, blankly into creation.
Creation.
Yeah, I'm assuming that means just, like, very pensive, just, like, staring off into the abyss. Oh, but that's how it was written, so that's how I put it in my notes.
I'm putting this out into the atmosphere because these audio files will live forever. Mm-hmm. If and when I become an apparition, because I feel like I've got some sort of interesting future in front of me, I better be well-dressed, I better have good shoes on, and I better be doing something interesting. I don't want to be the apparition that stares into creation that no one knows my name.
I just really like how we just spent all this time talking about how non-interesting you can be on a day-to-day life, and then you said you better be an interesting in the afterlife.
I'm trying to make my afterlife more interesting than my living life.
Because you've got to do it forever.
That's right. No one cares that I'm in grad school and go to work. That's all I do.
That's not a very fun apparition.
It's not. No.
All right. Anyways.
My apparition better be like dancing the Charleston like Granny used to or something. I better be interesting.
That'd be fun.
I'm sorry. Would you like to finish your story?
I've got several pages to go, so your choice.
Settle in.
All right, so there are also stories, this is sad, there's also stories of a large number of ghosty children being here because it is told that many children who were all killed in a bus accident were buried there.
Mm. Look at this Amanda's face.
This actually doesn't seem to be true, but, I mean, it did point out that every cemetery is going to have children's graves.
Of course.
So, you know, like, how much of that is actually related is, you know, maybe not. But it is also said that the trees in the cemetery move around.
What?
I was like, I knew I had to pause there. So not exactly sure how that works or what that looks like, but the trees apparently move.
Like tree beard.
Is there any more context to that? Like, why?
So it's been suggested that this is the work of satanic cults who caused the trees to move in order to protect their secrets. So how solid does that sound?
I'm a very literal person. And when you started the sentence about this is the work of satanic cults, my first thought is, well, they go out at midnight and they dig up the trees and they move them. Like, no, that's not logical.
I think it was a little bit more supernatural than that.
I support a good supernatural explanation over some idiots going out every night and moving trees. Seems exhausting.
Yeah.
Look, we did some yard work. My parents came over last weekend. We were digging up plants with 30-year roots.
No.
Y'all.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to move a tree. No. Like, that was tiring.
That's work. Okay, so there's a house in the woods. There's a legend of an abandoned house in the woods that has one light that always appears on in the upstairs window.
Okay.
Creepy. And it reminded me of The Haunting. Did you guys watch The Haunting of Hill House?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You know how, like, the lights would just, like, come on in the house when they'd drive up after it had been abandoned?
I saw the original Haunting of Hill House. I haven't seen the Netflix series, but I know that I need to. So, sorry. I spoke too quickly.
You should watch it.
Yes, I've heard that. I tried to watch episode one, but I was alone. Kevin was on shift. It was dark, so I didn't finish it.
It's creepy. Good. Yeah. I don't get scared easily, and it was definitely a jumpy one. Yeah.
Amanda's like, I don't like any of this.
I told Amanda immediately not to watch that show.
Yes, she did.
Some people say that this is just a local hostel, which accepts guests 24/7, so they leave a light on.
Yeah, sure.
So, abandoned. You know, these stories are just all over
the
place.
They're very fluid, aren't they?
They are. There's a school bus, so could be separate from the other school bus story, or it seems a different story, but maybe they just kind of got mixed up, as legends seem to do. Mm-hmm. But there is an abandoned school bus in Helltown that is said to be the site of a mass murder in which a serial killer, or an escaped patient from a mental facility, or a group of satanic cult members, depending on who tells the story, murdered a whole school bus full of children. The bus is still there, and it is said that sometimes it will fill up with the ghosts of the children, each one sitting in their original seat.
It's important to have assigned seats.
Mm-hmm. It is also said that sometimes you can see the ghost of a man, presumably the murderer, which one I'm not sure, but one of them, smoking a cigarette at the back of the bus.
Well, that's a very bad example to set for ghost children.
Yeah, right?
I don't like any of this.
Yeah, well, it's called Helltown, if you'll remember.
This is a place I would go, but I would only go during daylight. You would not catch me there after dark.
Oh, no. Other times it is said that you can only hear either screams or laughter of children coming from inside the bus.
I'm not laughing because that's funny.
I'm laughing because I'm looking at Amanda.
But, like, ghost kid stories, I immediately have to look at Amanda's face.
Yeah.
Like,
nope.
Y'all can't see her, of course, but, like, Amanda has had the most horrified expression since Tammy basically started the story.
Uh-huh. Yep. So, apparently locals have attempted to tow the cursed bus away, but are always prevented by some mishap that results in an injury or death. So they eventually decided to give up and just leave it there.
All right.
Some argue that the bus was just abandoned by a family who lived in it while their home was being worked on. So, bought a home in Boston Mills. It was really run down, needed a lot of work. It wasn't in a livable condition. They acquired a school bus and lived in the bus while their house was being worked on. People who agree with this story say that the bus has actually since been hauled off by the government because nearby residents have complained that people are out searching in the woods for the cursed bus at night all the time.
The cursed bus. That sounds like an
R.L.
Stein.
So it really does, doesn't it? But that's what they called it, the cursed bus. So I was getting confused when I was doing this research, and now that I'm reading it, it might be a little confusing. There are people who lived, like, in the outskirts of the area that was evacuated and or quarantined because of a chemical spill, whichever way you want to go with it. So there are residents around, and those residents seem
just
to be...
Just not in the boundaries.
Correct.
Okay.
They're annoyed by... may or may not be annoyed by people searching for a bus around
totally
all the time.
No, but that makes sense, right?
Right. Okay, so there are two churches in the area of Helltown. Mother of Sorrows and Boston Community Church.
Mother of Sorrows.
The latter has many stories attached to it. People believe that these churches are used as a cover for those cults we keep hearing about. It is said that the churches are never open for mass, no matter what time you go there. I'm thinking maybe because they're abandoned.
I mean, do you house a priest in an abandoned church?
She's just hanging out there.
I do have a family friend who's a priest. I can check in with him and see what the diocesan, that's not a word.
Diocese?
What? Diocesan? No, that's not a word. With the diocese.
Your face.
I'm just going to let you figure it out. I don't know.
I'm cutting that out because that sounds stupid.
Tammy's face. That was great.
I'm going to look it up tomorrow and find out that diocesan is a word and I'm not an idiot.
And then you're going to leave it in and do an edit over at the end.
No, because I sound so stupid right now. I'm not.
Okay, so it's also said that there is an evil man who lives in the basement of the Boston Community Church that guards the church from outsiders. He will not let his face be seen and will hide if you try to look at him.
God, wouldn't you?
Yes. Mother of Sorrows is said to always have candles burning, even at night, and to have upside-down crosses all over it. So, here's the thing, and this is a dark picture, but I actually did include a picture so that I can show you guys.
Okay.
I think that these upside-down crosses, you can kind of see right there, it's like part of this Gothic architectural design.
I agree.
So,
oh, yeah.
And now, I don't know if this is the only image, but this is an image that I did find, and I'm like, it's probably not so much.
Upside-down cross.
Like, I was thinking it was, like, some sort of, like, graffiti situation, or, you know.
Can I tell you a story about the upside-down cross?
Sure, tell me.
I don't want to derail too much, but I do feel like it's relevant to that. So, I saw, like, a a music artist or something somewhat recently, and they talked about how they had an upside down cross tattooed, and I'm like, so what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you turn a cross upside down? What does that mean? So I looked it up, and there's two meanings.
Mm-hmm.
And one is, of course, like, that it's, like, the anti-Christian.
Right.
It's, like, rebelling against the church. And I think that's, like, a natural
that's
place
for
your mind
go
to go.
Yeah.
But the actual origin of the upside-down cross, now, what it's taken to mean in pop culture mm-hmm. is different, but the actual origin of the upside-down cross was St. Peter, who was, like, the number one disciple, like, the right hand, basically, of Jesus, and he was also crucified. And when he died, he thought that he was not worthy to die in the same way as the Savior,
yeah.
and he asked to be crucified upside down. So the initial, like, not creation, but the initial presence of the upside down cross was, like, it was actually a Christian
like
symbol
a...
because it was, like, indicating that, like, you're a follower of the teachings of Christ,
right.
but you don't consider yourself worthy. You're not trying to put yourself on that
More
level.
Of, like, an I am second type deal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I know that probably doesn't have anything to do with that.
I've heard
that
before.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't. That is interesting.
Well, and I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody's faith, so when I'm saying these things, this is purely stories that people tell,
right.
urban legend. You know, like, it's always like, oh, the big, scary satanic cult is probably not actually have any credit to what's actually happening in this area. But it is just kind of a go-to explanation for people to use for things that they don't understand also, so...
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
It's an urban legend podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, so...
Well, that's what we're doing
None
here.
Of this is my opinion. Let's just go there.
I've been wondering why we've been meeting for 3.5 years.
Okay, so there's a hearse.
Yes.
You know, why not? It's everything else in
just
this hell town.
Out?
In hell town.
This sounds like my worst nightmare.
I thought about you a lot in this research.
You're being so dramatic.
Nope.
If you go past the road closed signs, I don't know why those were in quotations, so I put them in quotations on my note.
They can't see it.
No, I mean, it was in the research. It was like road closed. I'm like, okay, what is it actually? Anyway. If you go past the road closed signs, you will find a hearse where a creepy man lives. The man drives... Amanda. The man drives a hearse with one headlight, and it is said that he will chase you away if you get too close. Some people say that they've tried to follow the hearse, but it disappeared at the end of the road. Apparently, there was a family in Boston Mills, not before it was Hilltown, who owned a hearse. This was in Boston Township, which was another part of the area that was evacuated. But a family who owned it, but they only used it at Halloween. So is this, like, the spirit of the same guy? I didn't find out if that guy was still living. Is he just, like, hanging out there with his hearse? But
I would do that.
Yeah, I know.
I would do that.
He sounds like a character.
Do you think... the hearse delivered wreaths of roses.
Mm, could be.
R.I.P. King
find Falls.
We miss you.
Indeed.
We're in a shirt.
Yeah. Sad days.
So there's the end of the world. Stanford Road is a twisting road in the area with a steep incline. At the top of the hill, there's a sudden drop down on the other side. This road is often referred to as the end of the world. It is said... you know, just drive right off the end of the world. It is said that evil awaits all those who drive this road at night.
Correct.
The road is believed to be possessed, the road itself, and people say that an evil force will take control of your car and force you to crash. Legend also has it that if you drive to the end of the world at night, a group of robed Satanists will surround your car and form a human chain trapping you there.
Oh my Jesus.
That's a little over the top, isn't it?
I don't care what you do. I don't want anybody in robes surrounding my car in the evening time.
No,
I'm not about the robed stuff.
I'm all about... the ghosties and apparitions, less about the satanic cults.
Yeah,
right. Not really cool with cultist activity.
Any sort of robed human collection around me, not about it.
Unless they're like wizard robes from Harry Potter.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Acceptable. Thank you very much.
Cynics argue that people seek out this end of the world drop-off for cheap thrills and drive so recklessly that, of course, there are going to be many records of crashes and fatalities, but it doesn't have anything to do with paranormal.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I wonder if flat earthers go there.
You could drive right off. Others call this road the highway to hell and say that if you travel down this road at night, a serial killer who continues to evade a serial killer who continues to evade the police will jump out of the woods and butcher you with an axe.
Oh, good.
So maybe just don't. Again,
maybe
we're
just
not
don't.
Visiting at night.
No.
Yeah.
Or
there are some
at
places
all.
That should be visited only in daylight.
All this happens at night, though. This is one of those places that's like.
No.
You know, I went to Seattle once and I took a tour of the underground.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I, being me, was convinced that an evil spirit attached to me.
Yeah.
And was freaked out the entire night. I was like, oh my god, I'm possessed by an evil spirit. So that would happen to me in Hell Town.
Did you throw salt over your shoulder?
I didn't.
Well, it's your fault then.
I ate chocolate and went to bed.
I don't remember that being anywhere in the research, but I'm okay with it. All right. So the slaughterhouse. Let's move on to the slaughterhouse.
Oh, gosh.
It is said that if you look inside the windows of the slaughterhouse, you will see ghostly faces.
Sure, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Not sure why it's referred to as a slaughterhouse, unless it is simply for dramatic effect, because apparently there was never an official slaughterhouse in Boston Mills.
That does sound dramatic.
Yeah. The building people are talking about here sits next to Boston Cemetery and is apparently part of an old duplex that was built for tenants from the neighboring mill. So I didn't go into a lot of the history of town, but Boston Mills was a mill town.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The building has been acknowledged for its historical significance and is part of the National Historic District.
What if it was, like, the original flower shop or something?
Oh, hold on.
Happy and light.
Going back to the National Park story, it's apparently one of the only two buildings that has been sold by NPS back to private ownership. So even though they acquired it, that building is actually under protection for...
That's weird.
Yeah. Listen, when you visit, you can let us know about it.
Okay, I'll be sure to do that. Take a GoPro with me.
Should we talk about the funeral home?
We should talk about the funeral home. This is right up my alley. Every day is Halloween.
It is said that there is an old funeral home in Helltown that always has candles burning in the windows at night. This is an overarching thing, clearly.
I would 100% go visit.
Do you want to do you want to guess who it's blamed on? The candles in the night?
The guy with the hearse.
I mean, that's logical. Someone else is going to say it's a serial killer or something.
It's the cult members.
Oh, yeah. I like that less. Because I'm not into cults, but, like, I want all the ghosties.
But they're... It's just, like, everything that's random is like, oh, it's those cult members again.
Turns out there's never been a cult in the area.
Apparently, they will chase you away if you try to get too close to the building.
Chasing you away is better than an alternative, isn't it?
Turns out that the building that people refer to as the funeral home is the same building that others refer to as the old slaughterhouse, which was... apparently actually just like
a duplex. I don't like this. People need to get their facts right.
I know this. Well, you know, urban legend.
Yeah.
It's lots of different stories.
It's true.
So Crybaby Bridge.
Oh no.
You're really gonna like this one.
We've heard a lot of Crybaby Bridge stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a bridge in town that is said if you bring an extra set of keys, park your car on the bridge. First of all, who decided to test this hypothesis the first time?
Agreed.
I don't know, but
with you.
Bring an extra set of keys, park your car on the bridge, turn it off, lock the doors, and walk away with the keys sitting inside.
That's stupid.
When you come back to your car, it will be running, even though it's still locked, and it will be covered in dust with tiny footprints all over it.
Ah!
Okay. One, you're an idiot. Okay? Like, you can go ghost hunting, but don't be stupid. Like, that's stupid. Also, generally unsafe. What if your parking brake wasn't on?
Who did this?
People are stupid.
So other random rumors, people have spread rumors that Children of the Corn was filmed there. It was apparently filmed in Iowa, so not true.
It's actually a different state.
Right.
I hear.
There's also rumors that the police have shut down the area due to the satanic activity. Truly, it's because legend trippers keep invading the area looking for proof of the legends or looking for a fun scare. The article that I read did ask people to stop doing this because the residents in the remaining area or nearby are tired of being part of lore and would like to be left alone.
But we've seen that a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
In urban legend areas, they're like, please stop coming.
Yeah.
So again, I have a dark picture of the road closed sign.
I was going to say, I just see road closed. Am I supposed to see anything else?
I think that's like past to the end of the road, or end of the world highway to hell. All right, so now that you've probably seen in my notes, we're going to talk about another one called the Loveland Frogman. Would you like to comment?
I can't read anything, so you're fine.
AC/DC was just running
me
through
too.
My brain.
It was me too. I was trying not to make the reference.
Yeah. Leave it to me.
I was expecting you to sing it, so I'm disappointed.
I started to, and then she was like, okay.
I was waiting. I thought you were going to sing it. Okay.
I'll just wait.
So the Loveland Frogman. All right, so in the early summer of 1955, at around 3:30 a.m., a businessman, or perhaps a traveling salesman, whose name either way I could not locate, reported having seen a set of three creatures who stood between 3 and 4 feet each, 4 feet tall each, with leathery skin and frog faces.
Mm.
The figure stood in...
Seems rude.
For them
frog
to look
face.
At
me. Rude or frightening?
Like Dolores Umbridge. Yeah. The figure stood erect on their hind legs and appeared to be having a conversation until... One of them held a wand over their head and fired a spray of sparks, which startled said business or salesman into fleeing the scene. In an alternate version of this legend, the man spots the creatures from the car, honks his horn, and one of the frogmen jumps onto the hood of his car and croaks at him, which scares him into leaving.
It would scare me into leaving, too.
And some tell that the frogmen disappeared into the Little Miami River then. So here's the first sighting of the frogmen. It's a big thing in this area. I guess maybe I should have led with a...
Frogmen.
Not man, men. There's three of
them.
We came
off Helltown, which was generally frightening, and I'm like, we're talking about people that are frogs.
Yeah, I did this in this order so that you could all sleep tonight. No. Yeah, so imagine, this is one of them just like holds this wand up over his head, sparks fly, like in true Harry Potter fashion.
Absolutely, that was where my mind was.
And it's just, yeah. And he's like, just like, the guy just like nopes out and is like, bye.
Not, wouldn't you, though? I mean,
yes,
honestly.
Correct. Like, go about your business, frogs.
I like to act really bold and brave when we're sitting in a well-lit room in the middle of the day. But like, honestly, if I saw that at night, too, I'd be like, well,
yeah,
it's time to move back in with my parents.
Okay, so that
Sorry,
was...
Sorry, Mom.
That was in 55. Terry's like, no, you're not.
Terry's like, you may stay for 2.5 days and then get on each other's nerves, so please find somewhere else to go.
I've got you for 2.5 days.
Sorry, Mom.
All right. So in 1972, Loveland police officer Ray Shockey reported that an unidentified animal scurried across the road in front of his car at 1 a.m. He said that the creature was clear in the light from his vehicle's headlights. He described the creature as being between 3 and 4 feet long and about 50 to 75 pounds with leathery skin and bright eyes. He said the creature was crouched like a frog before it momentarily stood erect, climbed over a guardrail, and down towards the river. So this is a... Mm-hmm. So first sighting happens in 55, then in 1972.
Okay.
2 weeks later, another Loveland police officer, Mark Matthews, reported having seen an unidentified animal in the same area of Shockey's sighting that was crouched along the road. Apparently, Matthew shot the animal and put it into his trunk to show Shockey, because, you know, like...
Yeah, because that's what you do.
Sure.
Yeah.
He said it was a large iguana, about 3 or 3.5 feet long. He didn't immediately recognize it as an iguana because it was missing its tail. After Shockey confirmed that this was the same creature he had seen, and they speculated that it was probably someone's pet and that it either got loose or was released when it got too big. But why did he shoot it? And this doesn't explain the sighting 17 years earlier, where there were three of them.
Like, if you think that it's an iguana, like, an iguana is not, like, a rare and unusual animal. Like, do you need to kill that and drive it around to show people? Like, it's an iguana.
Also, you're in Ohio.
Well, and anytime I've been around an iguana, they don't, like, run away or move particularly fast. You probably could have just, like, went to see, oh, that's an iguana.
They kind of look at you like, why are you in my space?
Right, exactly.
Like, really, they kind of mastered the, like, death stare.
Well, apparently, he decided to shoot first and ask questions later. There are more popular those are the most popular sightings, but of course, any good urban legend has all manner of retellings and reported sightings, and this one is no different.
Mm-hmm.
Some report the frogmen to be as large as 6 feet tall.
Oh, well, all right. Big man.
As recently as August of 2016, in the height of the Pokemon Go period of popularity, teenager Sam Jacobs was playing the game near Lake Isabella with a friend when he claims to have seen a gigantic frog. He told local TV station WLWT5, it's quite a mouthful.
Uh-huh. It is.
We saw a huge frog near the water. Not in the game, this was an actual giant frog. Then the thing stood up and walked on its hind legs. I realize this sounds crazy, but I swear on my grandmother's grave that this is the truth. He said that the frog stood about around 4 feet tall, and he got dark photos of it to support his story. He said, not sure if it was a frogman or just a giant frog. Either way, I've never seen anything like it. He said that... Oh, I already said that. Sorry. I have that part in twice, sorry. Either way, I've never seen anything like it. One source said that it turned out to be a college student in a frog costume. but there was nothing that backed that up, and there was no citation for that, so I don't know why somebody was just randomly like, yeah, it was just a guy in a frog costume.
But imagine it was a frat boy in a frog costume during initiation week or something.
Yeah, exactly. So the Loveland...
So stupid.
So here's a picture. Here's the picture that he got. But again, it's really dark.
And you can't really...
No.
It looks like it could be a person, though, doesn't it?
The actual picture was a little bit clearer, but these pictures printed are just not
great
quality.
I mean, I assume that's supposed to be, like, maybe the legs, but it looks like it could be
a human
crouched down with its arms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. The very large glowing eyes, though.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how a human pulled that off.
No, I mean, it almost feels like they're goggles.
Yeah.
I've got
maybe reflecting, like, a flash or something.
Yeah.
But I don't think this it would still,
you know what, even if it is a human in a costume, that would be really scary to run into. That would be
freaky.
You're like,
well, and
why are you dressed as a giant frog?
Imagine the dedication to this legend that you're just hanging out as a frog in the exact area where these frogs are supposed to be.
Just waiting to see if someone shows up. That's true. It is true.
So the Loveland Frogman has unsurprisingly become a part of pop culture in Ohio. There are apparently graphic tees that can be found that say, I saw the Loveland Frogman, which, yes, I already know you want one.
And I'm just going to buy you one for Christmas.
And in 2014, a musical was made about the legend called Hot Damn, It's the Loveland Frog.
I want to watch that.
Y'all, can we go?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's just take our red water in our backpacks, because it seems like the sort of place you bring your own booze. And I want to see that musical.
Yep. James Renner wrote a science fiction mystery novel called The Man from Primrose Lane that features a fictionalized version of the Frogman, and the legend is also featured in Matt Roberts' horror fiction anthology, Little Horror Stories for the Soul, in a novella called Suburban Legend.
I'm mad I didn't write that.
I'm mad that we don't have... Somebody needs to... Some listeners, someone gift us Little Horror Stories for the Soul. It sounds
seriously.
Sounds like our mascot.
If one of our listeners sends us that, we will do a dramatic reading special episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. That's it. That's the end of my stories.
Oh, that's it. We're done.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder,
a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories.
We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at Salt Over Your Shoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.
See you next time.